Good morning, brothers and sisters. I am, I say this and I mean it sincerely. I'm humbled to be here, to be standing before you and to have the opportunity to serve. Let me get this up and going real quick. All right. I am a lot of thoughts on my mind and a lot of things that I want to share, and really this has been on my heart and been on my mind for a while, and something that I had been thinking about. I've been reading a lot lately in Proverbs, and interestingly, my Aunt Michelle shared the scripture in Proverbs, and I'm going to start with that, and I think one that you're going to hear me lean on different verses in Proverbs today and multiple ones. And personally, I'm a fan of Proverbs. I grew up probably intimidated by Proverbs. I still, to a certain extent, would say that I'm intimidated by Proverbs, of what it means or what it says or how I interpret it or understand it. But it's one that I've really tried in my life and trying to dive in and really understand and grasp. But Proverbs, the 25th chapter, the 28th verse, was what my aunt had shared this morning, or that was shared in the Sunday school class. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And I think that speaks to me. It speaks to so many things, and I think that it applies to the message I feel led to share this morning. I want to talk about the word contentment. What does contentment mean? And I went to the official source for everything is Google and pulled up the definition as given to me by, when you type in the word define contentment, Google tells me it's a state of happiness and satisfaction. So I'm going to pause and just kind of think about what for you is a state of happiness and satisfaction. I was trying to think, what is contentment for me, or what is that happiness and satisfaction? I can tell you that as I look back in my life, it's times that I think about times that I've had with my family, or things when we're doing things together. I always tell my boys, I don't want a gift for Christmas, I don't want a gift for my birthday, I just want time, right? I just want a day with you, or I want to do something with you. That to me is contentment, right? That's that happiness that I get to share with them. I went to the barber yesterday morning, and they were talking about there's some restaurant, people probably know about it, I've never heard of it, near like Coal Camp or something like that, Missouri, where it's just like this amazing meal. And these guys said that you go into this, it's like Charlie's or something, I don't even know what it's called, right? But you go in and they said, you overeat because it's so good, right? You start out content, right? Because it tastes good. It's something that's really good. And then what happens? You go too far. Michelle and I went out with some friends Friday night for dinner, and I was really excited. It was a new restaurant, and I overate, right? So what was joy and excitement turns into you're miserable. You've been there. Don't pretend that you haven't. You've been there too, right? Or, this morning, I got up early this morning, and I'm a cheapskate. I really haven't. I turned on the heat finally this morning in the house. It was cold, right? That contentment when, I thought about if I'm really cold and I go to a window where the sunlight is shining in and it just feels good, right? That to me is, that's contentment. It just feels good. Or, like I said, the time with family, the time with friends, the time that we get to spend together. I look back in my life and those fun moments are times at camp and opportunities that I've shared with, whether it's my brother Rusty, whether it's my brothers and sisters that are here, or the youth that I've gotten to spend time with, that to me is that joy and that contentment, that happiness that's provided. Also, too, like I said, too much food can be too much, right? Too much family and friends can be too much, right? But this contentment in our life, and I think it's important that we kind of try to understand. I was trying to just look online and look up You know, what is contentment? I found a study, and I'm not going to quote it, but it just talked about, there was a Pew Research Center that had an article on why we studied the possible links between religion and happiness. You know, why do we find happiness in our religious lives? Or do we, and should we more? The little picture on the right side of the screen that you see is my niece. One day, it was a beautiful day. We had the windows down. We were driving down the road, right? That picture in my mind of what I envisioned. We were driving down the road listening to a song. I know she's clapping. Contentment is that happiness. You know, she has no worries. And spiritually in our lives, you know, we have no worries. How great would it be, you know? I can tell you that I'm a person that I struggle with contentment. Just being totally honest with you. You know, I look and I think there are things that I strive for something better, or I strive for something different. I can tell you that, you know, in my personal life, in my career, in the things that I strive for, you know, I worry about what maybe going on with someone else rather than worrying about what's going on with me. Our brother Rick, I think it was a week or so ago, he preached at the East Local, and the title of his sermon was around tithing, but the way that, or the takeaway and the conversation that Michelle and I had afterwards was really around, you know, some things that we were trying to look at, or some decisions that we were trying to make, and it really came down to contentment and that happiness, that joy and that peace that we have in our Heavenly Father, right? We want to strive and recognize that I'm not telling you that, you know, I'm not looking out at Van and saying, Van, you don't have to go to school because you can just live off your mom and dad forever and you can be very content that way, right? No, Van has got to go to school and he's got to continue to advance himself and he's got to continue to do those things. And I think it's important for us, you know, at work, I work with a lot of people that I've come into a new job and we're trying to drive some changes, and I'm not okay with just doing things just by getting by. In our spiritual lives, our personal lives, our professional lives, our home lives, we have to continue to strive for greater things. You know, I was drawn to this, and I found this online, and I wanted to share. And it kind of takes us back to the very beginning of Adam and Eve and walking with God, you know. And the quote that I found, or what I found, it said, Adam and Eve are naked and unashamed, walking with God. Yet even in that environment, the serpent comes and convinces them their present circumstances are not enough, that they're missing something. And if they would just do this one thing, they would have a much fuller, richer, more satisfying life. The fruit gets eaten, sin enters in the world, and we have been swimming in it ever since. That thought and that idea really stands out to me, I'm going to turn to Proverbs 27. Actually, I'm going to go back. Sorry. I want to go back, and I want to touch on something. So I want to continue to really drive this picture of contentment. Are there any Amazon fans in the crowd? Anybody over? Milo, do you overuse Amazon? Probably. Have you ever gone into Amazon and looked at your order history? Has your wife ever gone in and looked at your order history? You share an account. Okay. So, is Amazon a bad thing? No. It's convenient, right? It's quick. It's easy. My wife would probably tell you I have an addiction to Amazon. I don't say I have an addiction to Amazon. I say it's the convenience. Right? What happens with when you become an active Amazon user? What happens to you? What do you do? How easy is it to be thinking about, you know, I need water filters for something, right? Or I need light bulbs. I now order light bulbs from Amazon. You know, how easy is it to run by wherever you get light bulbs and just buy light bulbs? It's easy, right? Not difficult. But how easy is it when the thought hits my mind or Michelle says, hey, would you make sure you replace this light? Sure. Right? Boom, it's coming. I truly, you know, and what I want to, why I kind of highlight this and why I want to bring this to, purposely what you see in the picture is I stopped at my orders. I didn't show you my order history, right, because it's way too much. But yeah, Rusty said it wouldn't fit on a page, and that's, but it's convenience. But it's also, I think, a really good example for us is, you know, there's that next big thing. What happens when you're buying something or you're constantly buying something on Amazon? You know, financially, you don't think about it until you get your credit card statement at the end of the month, right? And it was convenient, it was nice, and now, oh man, I got to pay for that, and I got to do that. And you know, why did I buy that? That was just ridiculous. But I think also in our spiritual lives, you know, or for me anyway, and I don't want to point fingers at anyone. I want you to just, you know, recognize that this sermon is probably as much for me as it is for any of us, is that I think all too often in our life, in our world, in the world we live in today is really out chasing after what is that next big thing. And I think that, you know, kind of goes back to and reinforces, you know, that the scripture in Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Where do we find that satisfaction? There was I found this in a stat from Statista, and it estimated that companies in America are going to spend over $240 billion this year trying to convince us that we don't have this thing, right? Whatever this thing may be. And if we'll simply buy their product or go on their experience, or if we download their app, or if we post this picture, if we do whatever this is, we will achieve this elusive quality. And I would tell you that really I could stop here and you can pull out your scriptures and you can look at your Bible and your Book of Mormon. And the Amazon, the Google, the thing that we're looking for is through Christ. And I wish I had, you know, just this amazing way to say to you or drive the point home of, you know, what is contentment? Where does it come from? Why do we struggle with it? You know, are we as humans looking for something better? Are we looking for that true biblical contentment in our lives? I wanted to try to define, and so I tried to put down in words how I would define biblical contentment, and that's being satisfied in the Lord alone. So what I want to do is, and I want to shift in this, and I really want to continue to drive in this idea or this thought around contentment, and ultimately what I want to do is I just want to ask you a question. Why is it that that so many of us live lives where we fail to experience deep, meaningful contentment in a consistent way? And I know I struggle with this in my own self. I find that, you know, even in my spiritual life, I find that I struggle with this at times. You know, there may be something that I don't agree with Sean on. And so I want to pick a point or I want to pick a reason why, well, I can't really do this with him because I just disagree with him. Or, you know, I've got my beliefs and I've got my thing that I'm going to do and you know, I'm gonna stay away from Rusty because he thinks differently and he looks at things differently than I do. And I you know, this is not about that in my mind, but this is ultimately about is that our commitment to our Heavenly Father, our focus in our lives, where we are looking in our lives, and what are we chasing after, and what are we wanting to do, why we get up in the morning. I had an experience lately, and I'll, you know, I'm not afraid. I purposely want to admit my faults, my weaknesses. And I had an experience lately where a brother had called me and asked that I come meet with him. And you know, like everyone else, my life is super crazy and busy, and you know, it was trying to get a time nailed down of when we were going to meet, and it was going to entail several steps for me to get there and to do this thing. And I can tell you that, you know, in my own life, I was struggling with, you know, I was thinking of, well, I've got this reason why I can't go do that. You know, this is going to entail me to go, you know, I got to leave work early, and I got to go do this, and I got to go take care of this thing, and I've got so many other things that I need to continue to take care of. And I can tell you, as I was that morning before I went to go visit this brother and go have a conversation, I was driving to work, and a lot of days I don't really have the radio on when I'm driving, because it's kind of that time to think. And it was impressed upon me really hard, and it hit me very, very hard, you know, why are you worried about this, right? Where is your focus? Where is your attention? And I can tell you that, you know, I can give all the reasons why I'm worried about things. I'm a worrier, and I don't want to be, you know, it's in my DNA. It's ingrained in me. I want to learn to just let go and let God handle it. But, you know, I feel like so many times that I've got to plan this step, or I've got to do this thing. And then all of a sudden I think about, you know, I'm getting older. My kids are getting out of the house. Braden's almost out of college. You know, I don't have to worry about them anymore. Right? Sean, do you worry about your adult children who are out of the house now? Yeah. Right? There's so many reasons why we can worry and we can be concerned. And then what happens is we come to church and we're worried and we're concerned about all these things that are going on. And then where is our focus? I do it myself. I am absolutely guilty of, you know, I come and I sit down in church, and I can tell you that I may have this look in my face that I may be there and I may be engaged, but I can tell you my mind may not be there. And, you know, it's kind of back to that picture that I showed of Reese, right? It's back to that picture of, you know, the only worry, the only concern, the only fear that she had at that time was what? Nothing, right? It was a fun song. We were clapping. Life was good, right? And we can have that same experience in Christ. If we look up and we recognize that in that moment, in that time that we have right here today, we are in Christ's house. We are with brothers and sisters that have a common belief. Nope, maybe Sean and I don't completely agree on everything, but I love him. And I care for him, and I care about him, and I care about each one of you. And you may not like me, you may not agree with me, that's okay. Because we have a common belief and we have a common foundation in Jesus Christ, that there is a much better thing that we have than what exists in this world today. Why are we on this path, and why are we on this journey? Do we have to be content for things? Yeah, you know, I have to accept that you know, whatever that lot is, whatever that I've received, but recognize it is enough, because where we are full and where we have great things is through Christ. So I want to go back to this question. Why is it that that so many of us live lives where we fail to experience deep, meaningful contentment in a consistent way? I hope you can see that. And I'm going to stay on this screen now for a little bit. And I think I found this, and I wanted to share it. And I think it applies to this question, you know, why so many of us live lives where we fail to experience that deep, meaningful contentment. Have you had a time in your life where you've come to church, or you've had an experience with your brothers and sisters here where you felt that deepness, that deep energy? Have you felt that? I would expect probably all of us have. But, you know, I think so many times, too, then that we start to fall away from that. So the first point I want to talk about is, because we have a hard time believing in God. Is there anyone here that does not believe in God? I didn't expect to see any hands. Would you disagree with me if I said sometimes our belief in God or the strength within or the deepness of our believing in God wavers or thins or becomes weak? I think we want to. I think we truly want to believe that God is that deep relationship that we have with God, but we have a hard time believing that it's really enough. You know, or we have a hard time. You know, I can tell you there's times when my boys have come to me and they'll ask me a question and they'll say, "Dad, what do you think?" Right? You know, sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I completely go as far as I want to in telling them the truth because I don't want to offend them or I don't want to upset them. Or my Aunt Michelle may come to me and ask me a question. You know, "Jeff, what do you think about this?" And sometimes I worry about, man, I don't want to upset my Aunt Michelle. Right? You don't want the wrath of my Aunt Michelle coming down upon you. Right? You know, sometimes we have a reason. You know, somebody comes to us and says, "You know, should I do this? Whatever this may be. Should I go do this experience? Or should I go do this thing?" And, you know, it's sometimes, at least for me anyway, it's I don't want to offend Rusty, so I may go soft on what I tell him or the reason why I tell him that, you know, Rusty, maybe you shouldn't do this, but, you know, make your own choice, make your own decision. But I think, you know, we have this responsibility to look at the things that in our own lives and look at the things as we interact with our brothers and sisters. You know, ultimately, the point I'm trying to say is, I'm not trying to get you to call somebody out, but I'm trying to say is, we have a responsibility to each other as brothers and sisters to boost each other up, to strengthen each other up. You know, I think sometimes when I'm the weakest or sometimes when I'm having, you know, I'm stumbling myself or struggling, all of a sudden who pops up on my phone but Sean Sprague? Right? It's that strength for me, and I know that it is that strength for me. Turn with me to Proverbs, the 30th chapter. Proverbs, the 30th chapter, I'm going to start at the 5th through the 9th verse. I'm going to read through the 5th through the 9th. "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of God in vain." And I you know, those verses really stood out to me is how many have asked God to make that the posture in our life or the foundation within our lives. "God, give me just what I need. You know, give me that strength. Give me that purpose. Give me those things that will deepen my faith and strengthen my life." Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 5th verse, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear that man shall do unto me." God has told us why we don't need to be, or God has told us why we don't need to be discontent. He said to us, you know, "I'm never going to leave you. I'm there with you. I'm by your side. You know, I'm here to strengthen you. As brothers and sisters, I'm here to strengthen you. I don't have to worry about what that is. I have that through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Turn with me to Philippians, the 4th chapter. Philippians 4, starting at the 11th through the 13th. "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." And I'm sharing this, and you know, this, I know that verse, one verse in there, that I can do all things through Christ. You know, it's overused, and you know, it's not about running really fast or having that superpower strength or whatever it may be, you know, but ultimately, you know, it's when I am in strength, I'm instructed. I should be prodded to give and to help. When I am in weakness, you know, looking for that strength or looking for that boost or looking for that support that I stand in need of. You know, this is the one that scripture really kind of is what has rang through to me since I heard, as I sat and listened to Rick's sermon on tithing. And I know Rick's, you know, the intention of that sermon was tithing, but it spoke to me in so many different ways. And it spoke to me and Michelle to sit down and kind of assess of, all right, where are we at and where are we heading and where is our life and what are we trying to accomplish in life? I want to go to the next one. We don't experience contentment because our minds are set on the wrong things, because our comparison and we're bombarded with ads and promotions and things that we see around us. In Colossians 3, starting at the first verse, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Proverbs 14, and sorry, I'm just jumping on these verses quick. Proverbs 14, the 30th verse. "A sound heart," or I'll say as a contented heart, "is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." You know, God is directing us. That sound heart is the life of flesh, but what is not, and he continues to say, "but envy the rottenness of the bones." You know, we're weak, and we continue to look for those, the experience, and we want that feeling, or we want that, whatever that is. Paul reminded us in the Philippian church, in Philippians 3, starting at the 20th verse, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We need to stop asking this world to scratch whatever that itch may be, and ultimately, it is here. It is given unto us, and it has been granted unto us. It is here. The third one, we don't experience contentment because we're convinced that we are the exception. You know, I think all too many times, what I mean by that is that what we believe versus what we live. And I want you to think about that, you know, what we believe versus what we live. I remember an experience I had. Actually, I had a picture, and I didn't put it in. I almost did. And it was a picture of, I went to the Philippines with my Uncle Frank many, many, many years ago. Cody Fan had found a picture. We'd gone together there, and Cody had found a picture, and it kind of spurred a thought and an idea that goes along with this. You know, if you've ever traveled with someone, and let's say you travel with a friend, a coworker, somebody that you know, but you really don't know well enough that you've ever shared a room with them, right? Have you ever had that experience where, you know, you go somewhere, and for a while at work, one of the jobs I had, budgets were really tight, so we had to share hotel rooms, and sometimes that's the worst experience, in my opinion. And so I went to the Philippines with my Uncle Frank and with Cody Fan, and we shared one room. And you really get to know somebody somebody that you don't live with. My uncle is my of course, my uncle. But I never lived with my uncle, right? I never stayed in the same room with them, and here I am staying in the same room. You get to know somebody really, really well, right? Your faults, your imperfections, your weaknesses. You know, if you came over to my house right now, you would see what my house is like normally, right? But if I knew that you were coming over to my house, I can tell you that I'm going to go through and I'm going to tidy things up. And I'm going to put things away and I'm going to put them in their order. You know, it's kind of like that in our spiritual lives. You know, what we believe, you can see or you can see in me right now. But the way I live or what I do when I'm outside of here, when I'm hidden from you, you know, you don't know that. And I guess what I'm trying to drive towards, or the hope, or the point that I'm trying to drive here is, you know, what we don't experience contentment because we're convinced that we are the exception. You know, what we believe, what we do here may not be the same. And so our challenge is how do we carry this experience? You know, we walk into this building and we're protected. You know, you walk into this building and you shouldn't have to worry about what's going on in the world around us. When we were a part of the camp and that experience, you know, what we would always say is, when you pull onto that camp, we're going to take your cell phones, not because we're just trying to be mean and horrible, but we're trying to exclude those things that are going on in the world around you. We can come in here, and if you want to disconnect, disengage from the world, and really be satisfied in Christ, you can do that right here. You can do that if you want, but ultimately, you know, we have to believe. We have to have that foundation. We have to believe that there's no exception to that. Turn with me to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. I'm going to start at the 6th verse. I'm going to read 6 through 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, it's not to say that God is you know, God is not anti-money. You know, I hope Van goes to college and gets a good degree and gets a good job and pays his tithing. The church needs that. You know, I'm not going to say that we shouldn't continue to try to advance ourselves in our lives, and that is nowhere near the message that I'm trying to say. You know, I'm not going to say that we can disregard our spouse and we can disregard our family because we've got to be focused on this one very thing. You know, I don't think God calls us to forget about our spouses and forget about our families. And ultimately, you know, what I do believe is he's given us a purpose. God has given us a purpose. And that contentment is what robs of that focus and that attention that we have. I know for me, Helaman, the 2nd chapter, the 70th verse, and now my sons, behold, I have what some more to desire of you. Which desire is that ye may not do these things which ye may boast, but that you may do these things to lay up for yourselves a treasure in heaven, yea, which is eternal and which fadeth not away, yea, that ye may have that precious gift of eternal life, which we have reason to suppose that had been given to our fathers. I want to move to Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke 12, the 16th through the 21st verse. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. And I think that again, those verses just really speak to me in this, is that, again, where is our focus? Are we content in God? Are we happy? Are we focused on that? And finally, the last one, because we simply don't know the Father's love. Romans, the 5th chapter, 6-8 says, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commandeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins." You know, I think sometimes we don't experience that contentment. We don't experience that contentment in our Heavenly Father and that love because, you know, we don't recognize that which Christ has given to us. Our greatest need has already been met. We have already been given much, and we have much to continue to receive. Do I want things to be better in your lives? Absolutely. But I think we also have to recognize that we have great things in our lives. We have great need. There are many that are very sick today. There are many that have a need that is, I say it again, that is great. But also recognize the greatness that we have. We have the ability that we wake up in the morning and I can go down to my kitchen and there's cereal there for me to eat. Right? I can, if I'm in need, I can go to a family member. I can go to a loved one. I know that if I need help on something, I can call my Aunt Michelle, and I keep picking on my Aunt Michelle, but right? But I know I don't spend a lot of time with my Aunt Michelle, but I don't have to. I know that we have brothers and sisters around us that are here to help, that are here to reach out to you, that are here to engage with you, or here to connect with you. If for no other reason, bump a text, right? Send a message. Pick up the phone and call somebody. I want to close with Psalm 73 in the 25th through the 28th verse. "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Thank you.